Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you because the gospel is alive and well. And we pray, Lord God, that the reality of the gospel would grow in each and every one of us. Continue to transform us by your grace. To that end, frequent this moment with your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody glad for the gospel? Glory to God. It's good to be here on the first Sunday of 2017. And it was nice to hang out with some of you last night. Nice to see the rest of you today. I got a surprise this morning. My cousin and her husband came in.
Amen.
My cousin and her husband, I didn't know they were coming. Lo and behold, I looked up, and there they were. I want my cousin and her husband to stand up. Stand up, brother. That's my cousin. That's my cousin. That's Brenda and John Tucker. Thanks for coming. Now, you know that's all right, isn't it? Y'all like this new robe I got on? When you get these things, you gotta break them in, you know what I mean? You gotta break them in.
You can't see the front, though.
You can't see the
front.
Oh, they can't see the front?
You can't see the front. The weed head can't see the front.
Oh, you can't see the front. You got to break in these things, you know what I mean? So. But I say that I'm wearing this because of the deacons. The deacons gave me this. Isn't that something? I thought that was so nice. So I'm going to keep preaching in it until it's broken in good. I got to carry on and do everything. First Psalm. Blessed is the one, the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I'll make some comments today just around the word roots. Roots. Have you ever turned on a one-way street? You're going down, minding your own business, just as nice. And then someone comes up the one-way street the wrong way. Why do people do that? Especially when it's daylight. It's daylight, it's not raining. Sign big as day, the one-way sign with the arrow, you know, but sure enough, they will still come down the one-way street the wrong way. Why did you do that? My guess is that you didn't plan on doing it. When I've done it, I didn't plan on doing it. But I went the wrong way because I was distracted. I was so busy trying to look for the right way till I didn't even notice that I was going the wrong way. You know how you're driving and you're listening to your GPS and it tells you, you know, in 300 feet, turn around. Okay, what? And you're thinking, I should have been 300 feet. What, 300 feet? Whose feet? I must have made a mistake. I should have been on this road. And so what you do is you turn when you think you should be at the 300 feet mark, only to find out recalculating. Right? Something like that, right? Yeah, right. And so my point is that we can get so busy, so concerned about trying to make the right turn that we actually miss the right turn and go the wrong way. It is possible to go the wrong way for the right reasons. Whether we're driving or not. Have you ever made the wrong decision for the right reason? You didn't know it was wrong at that moment, but in hindsight, you realize that it was wrong, and how could you have missed it? And then it dawns on you, oh, I did it, but it was for a right reason. Yeah. So in this psalm, this familiar psalm, we've got a contrast. The contrast is between the wicked on one hand and basically the righteous on the other hand. But let me suggest to you that the psalm isn't so much about how horrible the wicked are. I can think of some people I would have called wicked years ago. The psalm isn't so much about how wicked people are, but the psalm is pointing to what informs the choices that we make. So that one set of choices ends up taking us down the wrong way for the right reason. But another set of choices ends up taking us down the right way for the right reason. Okay. So let me put it, just stick with me for a moment. Just stick with me for a moment. Have you ever taken a trip and you have to take the trip by air? And you feel great, it's a nice day, the whole thing, you got your bag packed. You're looking forward to the Delta Convention. Yes. If you're a Delta, or you're looking forward to the AKA, whatever you're looking for, you're looking forward to a great time. Wherever you're going, you're going to have a great time, right? You feel good getting on the plane. You've never been where the convention is. You feel great. Everything is good. You get off the plane and you're sneezing. You weren't sneezing before you got on the plane. And when you got on the plane, you were thanking God because God had moved and nobody was sitting next to you. Oh, you're going to enjoy the flight. You don't have to talk to strangers. You don't have to do anything. You're just going to do your thing. You felt fine going, but you get off and you're sneezing. What is that about? Everybody was well in your house, so you didn't carry any germs with you. Hello, somebody. You know, the problem was the air on the plane. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The problem was the air on the plane. No one has to sit next to us in order for us to catch a germ. Right. No one has to sit next to us in order for us to catch the germ. It's just that the way the air is in the plane, the germs do nothing but circulate. There's no fresh air. But the only problem is that you're off the plane, you're sneezing, but your friend who went with you, seated two rows behind you, your friend isn't sneezing. How come your friend isn't sneezing, but you're sneezing, and you both breathe the same air? The difference is that your friend has a different immune system. Yeah, your friend's immune system is in a different state than your immune system is. Your friend was fortified in a way that you weren't. Your body, your chemistry, your physiology was not prepared to be in the midst of a lot of germs just going around and around and around and around. So when the scripture says here, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, this is all about being in a place where you can breathe in the wrong air. But it is possible, again, to be in that place where the air isn't right, but you come out going in the right direction. Yes. Right. So if we think that this psalm is just about conduct, we're missing the point. The conduct. The good conduct grows out of the fact that we have a good immune system so that when we are in environments that would influence us to go the wrong way, something in us can resist. Right. And so the resistance isn't because I'm more righteous than you. Oh, my God. The resistance isn't because someone is holier than you are. The resistance is based on the fact that the immune system over and over and over and over has been fortified, built up. So you just don't take in the way others take in. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. Yes. Some of us here have been in work environments where people around us were doing the wrong thing. They were doing the wrong thing, and some of them even getting rewarded for doing the wrong thing. And they're looking at you. Oh, go ahead. This is the way we do it here. You could be with them. You could share a joke with them. You could enjoy their company, laugh with them, whatever. But at the end of the day, you were not following their pattern. Why? Because you had something different on the inside. So what was going on with them wasn't contagious. I can be around the influence without being under the influence. Everybody else was smoking what they were smoking, but you the only one didn't get a buzz. What you laughing at? You may have come out and your clothes smelled like what other folks were smoking, but your mind was clear. Mind was clear in every direction. My God, my God. So what is it? So look at the second verse. See, but, right? All right. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay, here we go. So here's the secret. The secret here is that what built the immune system was the right diet. Now, it says delight. Now, you know, this word meditate. Some of us have had the blessed experience of observing a cow chew. You ever seen a cow chew? You get it. We're going to have a cow chewing contest.
Yes, that's it.
When a cow is chewing, there's nothing left. For those of us who haven't witnessed a cow chewing, I want you to think about your relative with a chicken bone. All right, so let me put it like this. Or a rib. Somebody said, you got me there. All right, so I'm not going to talk about your relatives. Talk about myself. When I get a hold of some good fried chicken, Lord, help me today. I like the dark meat. See, that's why we get along, trust. That's one of the reasons. When I get a hold of the dark meat, it's just full of flavor. And I like to eat it at home. Because there's a way, Doris, I love you, God bless you. Doris here, she does etiquette training. Doris, I would fail the course when it comes to eating fried chicken. I like to eat it at home because I like to just go forth without shame. And I get it and I get to chewing upside that bone. And by the time I'm finished with it, this thing is almost shining. Because I don't leave much left. The only thing I leave on that bone is a trace of a memory. That's the only thing I left. And when I used to eat ribs, and so I don't eat ribs like I used to years ago, I was the same way. You get that rib and hold it like a drumstick and go. Now here's my point. My point is, the psalmist says that the person who meditates, who chews on the law day and night, who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he chews it. Day and night. I mean, in other words, he's thorough. The person is thorough in trying to digest the word of the Lord. This word law, when we hear the word law, we think of it in a punitive fashion. You know, that someone is out to see, what am I going to do wrong? An infraction, I'm going to be punished. Don't think of it in that way. Think of it as guidance. Think of it as direction. Think of it as instruction. When we meditate on the instruction that is for our welfare, for our good, then we become like a tree. Oh my goodness. Planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. The leaf does not wither, and whatever we engage in prospers. So to flip this, it's because the one delights in God's instruction, God's guidance, God's take on something. It's because the person goes there that they are able to not experience what's contagious and can lead them in the wrong direction. Now, let me put it like this. I was talking with a brother a couple months ago. He was telling me about how much one of his loved ones meant to him. The loved one had recently gone home to be with the Lord. He was telling me about this brother, what he meant to him. And what he said to me was this. He said, he taught me how to tie my shoes. He said, and the thing was, he was left-handed, and I'm not left-handed. He taught me to tie my shoes the way left-handed people tie shoes. And my whole life, I've been tying my shoes left-handed, even though I'm right-handed. You know what that man was telling me? What he was telling me was that when he was a boy, oh my God, he received the instruction that he got from someone he trusted, someone who had his welfare in mind. And he not only received that instruction, but he literally continued to practice that instruction. And so even though his natural, hello somebody, inclination would be to do something different, he maintained what he had learned. When we feast on the heart of God, on the mind of God, on the opinion that God has for our way of life, even though our natural inclination can at times want us to go in a different direction, we find ourselves still going in the right way. So what are you chewing on? Where do you get your guidance for life from? Whose opinion do you live off of? Whose opinion do we live off of? On this first Sunday of 2017, I welcome you to feast on the mindset of God, to feast on who God says you are. So that no matter what happens, you are always fed from the hand that alone can feed us in ways that none other can ever touch. And so it is, so it was. When Jesus fed the multitude, two fish, five loaves of bread, the Bible says that they all ate and were satisfied. satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Only His guidance can prepare us and satisfy us, can fill us with what we need for any year,
yes, Lord,
any moment, for any time, for being in the company of anyone. Why don't you partake of the living bread?
Yes,
Jesus,
Jesus
Christ, the Savior.
Yes,
yes. Amen. Would you stand, please? You might be here today and your diet's been off. Been chewing on the wrong stuff. If you chew on the stuff the media gives you, you're going to be going in the wrong way. I invite you to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to partake of the bread of life, Jesus Himself. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, today is a great day. Start the year off right. Give your heart to the Lord. You might be here and you already have given your heart to the Lord and you're looking for a church home. If that's you, we'd love to have you. And so I invite you to come, make a commitment to Jesus Christ, to give your heart to Him, or commit to joining us as we serve Him together. Is there one today? The doors of the church are open.
We
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Downstairs, you've been invited. We have been invited to go.